Hello and welcome to our Saturday afternoon meditation class. And for those of you who are going to the introductory to meditation class, that is in the room to my right. This is the class for ongoing meditators, to keep the meditation on track and also to give some advice on how to take it deeper. And one of those pieces of advice is always enjoying the meditation, finding fun in it. It seems a simple thing to say, but this was even taught by the Buddha, that when one understands meditation and its happiness and joy, the mind leaps towards it. In other words, as soon as you sit down, it's like taking your dog for a walk. The dog starts to wag its tail, it knows what is happening and it enjoys going out for a walk. In the same way, as soon as you sit down on your cushion, imagine if you can train yourself, as soon as you get your cushion out, some sort of invisible tail, your meditation tail wags. Yes, meditation, woohoo, here we go. Because if you don't develop that appreciation of the happiness and joy of meditation, you'll find after a few weeks, months, years, the meditation will start to just fade away. It's not important for you. Other things, the other pressing demands on your life will take over. So it's important to try and find out and see some joy in meditation. And that joy is always there. It just needs to be noticed. And first of all, when you sit comfortably, you know, when you're moving around, even walking backwards and forwards, picking things up, doing stuff, working, that actually does always make the body tense. And you can't really avoid that. And it's so nice, so delightful just to sit down and relax. In other words, to be able to find a comfortable position, sit there and do nothing for 40 minutes. Just that pleasure of leaving the body alone, letting it be still for a while, is a real delight. When you learn how to relax your body, which is the first stage of meditation, and I repeat as I always do, aware of your body, being kind to it, equals relaxation. A very deep physical relaxation. And you can do that almost by will. You can see a part of the body which is tense, which is tight, which is irritating, and you learn week after week after week, being aware of that part of the body, giving it some kindness, feeling it relax, feeling it relax, feeling it relaxing deeper and deeper and deeper. Until, you know, through the skill of mindfulness and kindness, what I call kindfulness, through that developed skill, you can look at any part of the body and you can relax it so deeply. You've trained that way. You've learned how to do it. It's a learnt ability. And when you do get that relaxation, it feels delightful. In the same way that people go on holidays and they find some deck chair or recliner somewhere by an ocean or a lake up in the mountains and they just lean back and, oh, life doesn't get better than this. The body is at ease. Now that delight is one of the first things we should try and notice in meditation. The body is relaxed, at ease, it's delightful. There is another time when you sometimes experience that delight, and it's usually, you know, maybe on a Sunday morning, you wake up, you don't have to get out of bed to go to work. You can, you know, lie in a bit longer, have a bit more of a snooze. In fact, you don't really go to sleep, you're just comfortable in your warm, soft, cozy little bed. And you feel so nice. I don't want to spoil this beautiful, delightful feeling. That is the delight of relaxation of the body. The body feels so nice and so wonderful. Or if you're if you have enough money to go to a spa and get a massage and hot oils and all this other stuff, you know, that in fact, I'm telling you quite accurately and honestly, you can get far more relaxed in meditation for far less a price than going to one of those spas. But you need to learn how to be able to do this. And the feeling of relaxation is just so wonderful. It is a pleasure, which I'm asking everyone to to notice. Because once you recognize that pleasure, the psychology of recognition of pleasure means the mind will automatically incline towards that. When you meditate, you sit down, the mind will automatically So go towards relaxation. In fact, it will just relax by itself. You know, just like the dog just, you know, has gone on the same journey for so often, it will just go and get the lead for you and give it to you, know exactly where it needs to go because it's been trained that way. And your mind is just like that. You'll be able to just almost let the mind go and it will just go towards deep relaxation of the body all by itself, simply because it's a recognized pleasure, which means you can sit for long periods of time without an ache or a pain in your body. You know, I have been meditating for so many years now, a lot of meditation too. And many people ask me, don't you get pain in your knees? And actually I don't get pain in my knees. My knees, I'm a 62-year-old now, 63 this year. My knees are brilliant, you can sit like this for hours. You know, back and other parts of the body, they're really, really loose and relaxed. And it's because I know how to relax my body very deeply, and it does it automatically. It doesn't hold anything tight. So that's where you start with the body. And what you learn relaxing your own body, that same procedure is what you apply to your mental world. The body and the mental world have similarities. The stress in your body, no injuries. The stress in your mind, no traumas, bad memories from the past. That's like injuries in the body. You know, the sort of the needs of the body to have a glass of water, a cup of tea. It's like the drawing of the mind into the future of where you want to go, where you want to be in the future. There's great similarities there. So if you're going to relax the body, it's mindfulness and kindness. If you're going to relax your mind, again, mindfulness and kindness, what is actually coming up into your mind right now? What's happening? What is the content of your mental world? It does take a while to become aware of that. And once you become aware, mindful, without judging, without sort of saying, I shouldn't be like this, I should be something else, be aware of any thought which comes up in the mind, in the body, any emotion, any feeling. You become aware of it. And once you're aware of it, you soften it, you're kind to it. So instead of being like a hard memory of the past, you know, who did what to whom, that's like a solid pain in your mental world. You relax it, you soften it, until it becomes so soft and so easy that then you can let it go. It's not a problem anymore. It's not this hard piece of pain which takes up all of your attention, which you are impossible to ignore, which is always drawing you back towards it because it is a problem. If it's a past, you can soften it. Same if it's a fear for the future. And many of you may have some very difficult things to face later on, even today or tomorrow, next week. All those things which you are afraid of, which are like hard knots in the future, soften them first of all. You look at what might happen and say, well, it might not happen, it might be something different. When you soften the future with a bit of kindness, with a bit of positive energy, it may not be so bad. You'll find, now the whole idea of softness rather than hardness for the fears and anxieties of the future, you find when it does get very, very soft and you allow so many other possibilities, you will find that everything becomes so easy to let go of. You are learning how to make your mental world more relaxed, less hard, less anxious, less angry, more at peace with things. And you have to soften that mental world first of all, before you can let it go. In the same way that if I don't really look at my body and relax everything first of all and go on, say, go and watch my breath too early in meditation. You try and watch your breath and then you've got your ache in your bottom, the ache in your throat or wherever it is. They keep coming back to disturb you. You know, you haven't let it go yet because you haven't softened it first of all. I soften my body and it's so easy to let it go and it doesn't bother me for the whole of the meditation period. It just looks after itself. Same way, my mind, I soften the past, soften the future until it's so easy and I can let that go. And then I can start to become really aware. And as I mentioned in the talk I gave on Thursday night, What is mindfulness anyway, this word which everybody uses these days, which they stole from Buddhism? What mindfulness is just being in the present moment and also being silent. Right here, in silence, you can know what's going on. To understand what I mean, I often bring out this old cartoon from Lunig. I think many of you know Lunig, one of the most brilliant cartoonists Australia's ever produced. He retired some years ago. But one of his famous cartoons was of a room where the family were watching the TV. And on the TV set, you could see a picture of a sunset. And that was on the left half of the frame of the cartoon, family watching a sunset on the TV. And the right half of the cartoon was an open window where the sunset was actually happening. What are you watching? The picture of the sunset or the real thing? And that's the difference between thinking. That's just like watching the TV in your brain. It's the names, it's the descriptions, it's not the real thing. And just feeling it, just knowing it. To be able to experience something without the names. You go out into the park. Do you really have to know the names of all the species of trees to enjoy their beauty? Do you have to give everything a name and try and describe it to yourself before you can just be at peace with things? A lot of times it is the thoughts which cover up the truth, and they certainly cover up the beauty. So to be able to get joy and truth in meditation, we are mindful in this moment and silent. And that comes by itself. Now when you do achieve a bit of mindfulness, a silence, and in a moment, for goodness sake enjoy it. The joy is there. But if we take it for granted, it vanishes. It is actually the delight, the joy, the happiness, which is the glue which keeps your awareness on that peace, on that stillness. It feels good. It is beautiful. It is a place you just love to hang out. And the more you appreciate the joy, the less possibility there is of you disturbing it with a thought or with doing something else. You just rest there, relax there. And even the thought, what do I do next? How can I take this further? Even those sorts of thoughts never come up. Why don't they come up? Because you're happy. What more do you want? If you can just stay still in this moment with whatever you have and focus on the delight of this moment, your meditation will take off. Sometimes people say, well, what object? What are you supposed to be watching? What's the delight? The delight which comes from a still, peaceful mind. Make that the object of your meditation. Just blissing out. That's eventually what we do in the deep meditations anyway. Sometimes people do find this type of instruction difficult. I always call this the Rolls-Royce method of meditation. You get into this, you learn how to do it. It's a very difficult car to drive, but if you can, wow, it really takes you into very beautiful states of mind. And sometimes we give these other little cars, little Toyotas, like watching the breath. Which is good, it gets you there. But if you are doing things like a breath meditation, please make it delightful. Just breathing in, oh yeah. Breathing out, oh beautiful. Now one of the great monks in Thailand, if you've ever read my book, Open the Door of Your Heart, he's the monk who patted the king cobra. You know, it's a great story, I won't go into it here again, but he's still around. He's really, really, really supportive of me. And I went to go see him a few months ago. He was a monk who said, Ajahn Brahm, I know your disciples keep telling you not to travel so much. But he said, if you stop traveling and if you relax, you will die, he said. He meant that. So that means I have to keep working hard. But he's the one. Whenever he would teach meditation, and this guy had really great meditation, you know, he was the tops. And you know his meditation, he would give such simple instructions. All he'd ever say, okay, breathe in. It's a Thai word. He said, breathe in, sabai. Sabai means nice, easy, beautiful, lovely. Oh, this is good. Breathe in, sabai. Breathe out, oh, sabai. Breathe in as beautiful a breath as you can possibly make. Really get into it. Make it just, whoa, that's really the best, delightful, most delicious breath I've ever done in my whole life. Oh, yeah. And breathe out an even better out-breath. Whoa, that was a good one. Wow. And that was his meditation instruction. Nothing else. Every time he'd teach the same thing. He was a brilliant teacher. He didn't mess around. So if you can learn how to do a little bit of happiness, really don't just, you know, like a Westerner, breathe in, come, we're going to do it. It's like some Prussian Puritan, just a task to be done, and let's do it as quickly as possible. Now just do it beautifully, do it delightfully. Learn how to put happiness into something as simple as breathing. And then you soon get to this delightful, beautiful, wonderful breath. Happens naturally because you are quiet and peaceful. The meditation is just so lovely. And I always want people, you know, so what do you get out of this Ajahn Brahm teaching all this meditation all over the place? I get off on this because when you do get delightful in meditation, when I see you happy, okay, you know how to meditate now. And you're addicted. It will carry on by itself. And you'll have these amazing results from meditation. So see today how much delight you can manufacture in your own meditation. Don't go for the peace. Go for the happiness. And then the peace will come later. Okay, bit of instructions. Delight from meditation. Oh yeah. So I'm quite honest with you, I'm looking forward to this. I love meditating. Okay, time to bliss out. Okay, a few people came in, so if anyone comes in for the beginner's meditation class, the introduction meditation, that's the room to my left. This is for the indulgent blisser outers, hopefully. So here we go. So first of all, as usual, get yourselves comfortable. And close your eyes. Closing your eyes makes you more aware. For the sole reason that more of your brain is available to be aware of feelings in the body and experiences in the mind. And as you become a little bit more aware of your body, you find you can relax it a little bit more. Ask your body, body, is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable? So don't just sit still there when you're uncomfortable. Move out of kindness. Come on, just relax your shoulders. Get your legs and knees just right. Imagine you're tucking up somebody in bed at night. And that person you're tucking in is you. Get yourself really comfortable, really cozy in your meditation posture. And once you've got the gross posture correct, then use your mindfulness to quickly scan your body, find out if there's any tight places anywhere, or any irritations. Instead of avoiding those irritations or trying to get rid of them, just focus on the area of the body which is not comfortable. Focus on it, be there, not judging, not doing anything. And once you're aware of it, send it kindness. Zap it with your compassion. I've seen many times a person in pain just receiving a tiny bit of kindness and the pain getting less. Just a little bit of care relaxes that part of the body. So you care for your knee. You really do that. And one of the advantages of mindfulness, it gives you this thing I call feedback. Because you're aware, you can notice how things change. Whether this feeling gets more tense, more irritating, or whether it loosens and becomes relaxed. You can feel that. your body is very comfortable, can you notice what I mean by the delight of relaxation? The fact that your body doesn't need to stress, doesn't need to force. It's perfectly at ease, just resting here. Recuperating energies, healing. Notice the delight of relaxation, and there's a good chance you can relax even deeper. When the body is really, really relaxed, then you can let it go and it will not disturb you. Now focusing on your mental world. Worlds of thoughts and fantasies, emotions. Is there any hard knots which are obsessing you? Just so focus on them. Be mindful and give them kindness. So you relax your whole past. All gets soft, like cotton wool, like clouds floating on the sky. Nothing hard. And all your fears, anxieties of the future, soften them with other possibilities. to live in the future becomes light, not heavy. Light enough to throw into the breeze and let all those future anxieties and fears just waft away on the wind. So you have nothing left, only now. The beautiful freedom of just being. Not stressing yourself out, having to achieve anything. Not straining yourself, having to go somewhere. Not weighing yourself down with what happened in the past. When all that goes, you are free, like a prisoner who's been released from jail. Free just to be. And noticing the delight in a mind which is relaxed. The happiness of freedom, of peace of mind. Getting very close to the end of the meditation now. How much delight, the delight of a peaceful mind, can you feel? This is the result of meditation. Restful, peaceful, delightful. I will now ring the gong. When the third ringing of the gong vanishes, come out from your meditation. Nice. Oh, the live streaming must be up because we have some questions. See what questions we have about meditation from all over the world. Today we have three questions from Poland, Romania and Indonesia today. First of all, Indonesia. I went for a 1 month retreat recently. I saw nimitta almost every day. My nimitta is often just a bright light, and sometimes it is so bright it's just like facing the sun. Sometimes there's no piti sukha, that's delight, but only peace. But there's always tranquility of the body. Is happiness have to be there all the time? If yes, how do I raise it up? This is the part of meditation when you get so still and peaceful. The body vanishes and in your mind's eye you can see a beautiful light. This is part of meditation practice. Those who take it on for a long time, you start to see this beautiful light in the mind. When it does start coming up, it gets bright, and you say it's just like facing the sun. Don't have to worry about going blind because it's a mental image, it's not a physical one. But this is what happens in meditation. As I say, for those of you who haven't seen any lights in your meditation yet, you will eventually see that light, the nimitta we call it, when you die. You know, near-death experiences, floating out of your body, going to the light. It's what you see when you're meditating, but you're not dead, nor do you die, so it's quite safe. But it's a joy coming up, and it's in fact the good question the person asked, that they can't perceive any joy here. And that's because it has not been really developed. It's one of the reasons why people don't take the meditation any further. It can be peaceful, it can be interesting, but until there's a delight there, it doesn't engage the mind enough. So the way to develop that joy and happiness, the little things I said today, but also to learn how to develop happiness and joy in your daily life. Be a fun-loving person, laugh more, have more fun in life. And if you find it so hard to even smile like many people do these days, I prescribe, like a doctor, people to do 20 push-ups every morning. If you can't smile very much, 20 push-ups every morning, stand in front of your mirror, your feet may be 2 foot apart, face the mirror, take your two fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Get your smiling muscles going. Because you find when you have the happiness during the day, it's so easy to find happiness in meditation. And you find everything gets much easier to do. There's, you know, one of my stories. When I was a student, I was a very stupid student once, and the college boat club were looking for more members, I call them victims, and they got us to go to this social where they were serving free sherry. And I used to drink alcohol in those days, and this was really good stuff. You know, not rubbish stuff, this was Cambridge. So I, you know, after a couple of glasses of sherry, I didn't know what I was signing before. It was really fraud. And before I knew it, I had to sort of go in this boat rowing down a river chasing other boats. A good exercise, I suppose. But the story I remember, just in a race, you know, rowing like, you know, your life depended upon it. And then the coach, you know, they have these in the old days, a coach on a bicycle with a megaphone screaming at you from the towpath. And he screamed at me and he said, "You are making an ugly face. Smile." And imagine you're rowing this all, you are making an ugly face. And he just said, "Smile." And I tried it. And absolutely true. As soon as I smiled, the oar was much easier to pull. You had more energy. You could pull it faster with more strength. And any psychologist would know that. The smile gives you energy, makes you engage with things more. So try that during your day, for goodness sake. You know, whatever you have to do, just put that smile on your clock and it's much easier. And it also means that when you meditate, you're just a fun-loving meditator looking there. And because you're smiling when you meditate, you can see the happiness. One of the reasons people have trouble there is because, I don't know, in life, happiness is not allowed. You're not allowed to smile when you walk down the street. And if you smile at someone, you think that, you know, they're making a pass at you or something. No, you're just smiling and being happy. So developing that happiness, and when the nimitta comes up, you've got a seed of happiness there. And then it becomes really, really joyful. So you're going very well from Indonesia. But just even get that happiness up a little bit earlier. Just enjoy the delight of a peaceful body. Enjoy the happiness. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to perform. I don't have to live up to anyone's expectations. No one is telling me what to do. I'm just sitting here. This is bliss. You're recognizing the bliss. And the bliss gets stronger and stronger. And you really, really get off. And so you do need that bliss, that what they call in Pali Piti Sukha is important. These are the ways to develop it. From Romania, for years I tried to understand what let go means and tried to find an appropriate translation of this into Romanian. Now when you mentioned soften the mind, I had the picture of letting the mind flow or maybe help the mind flow and unstuck. Is this a good translation for letting go? When you're translating a word, don't have one translation from Romania, have several translations. In other words, you approach the word from this direction, that direction, another direction, because sometimes you do need to paint a picture to create the scene. Sometimes a poet needs many words, many verses to elicit an emotion, and letting go is an emotion. It's not a thing, it's an emotion. You know, the idea, the emotion of anger, you know that one, fear. The emotion of letting things go, letting things flow, is fine. Softening the mind is almost like a precursor to letting go. You know, imagine Romania, is that really cold? Maybe in the wintertime. Imagine just the rivers frozen. And when they melt, then the river can flow. The water's got soft, it's slushy even, then it can start flowing. So that softening idea is no precursor to allowing things to flow. And to let go is just basically to, you know, let things be. In other words, stop controlling them, stop judging them, stop making them be like this or like that. Everyone wants happiness. Because they want happiness, they never get it. When they stop wanting, happiness is right there. So help the mind flow, that's a pretty good one. So, but try a few others. And so you have the letting go translated into Romanian from many, many different angles. And lastly, from Poland. Sometimes after a very peaceful meditation, I feel irritated and angry. Could you explain why? Because maybe it was peaceful, but it wasn't happy. Not enough of the happiness and joy there. And it may be, ask yourself where that peace came from. Because there is a peace which comes from just suppression. Just, you know, for forcing the mind, I am going to sit still. It's just like telling your kid, be quiet. And sure, the kid is quiet out of fear in you, but it gets very angry and irritated later on. So look for why the peace was there. Was it a peace born of letting go, born of joy, just so happy just to be, having a wonderful time? Or were you really just forcing the mind? Because if it was a peace born of letting go, born of happiness, then the mind is so happy that any irritation at all is, oh, do I have to get out of meditation now? But it's just a slight irritation. You think, oh, well, what the heck, I'm just so happy. So if it really is peacefulness and happiness, it's almost impossible to get irritated after the meditation. You know, you just, that's one of the signs of a very deep meditation. You try to get people angry. You know, I do that sometimes. People come and say, oh, I had this incredible meditation. It was so peaceful, so blissful. I say, no, it wasn't. You're just making it up. And see if I can get it. And if they say, what? It was peaceful. I said, I'm sorry, you know, I was right. But if they say, oh, okay, fine. I say, maybe you were right. So you just cannot get upset and angry when you're sort of blissed out, having a wonderful meditation. So see if you can get, it fits into the whole theme of today's instructions. Get some happiness and joy coming up in your meditation. And it is a natural, not a natural, but it seems to be part of human nature. That when real joy comes up, we tend to get rid of it. We don't so cherish it. Instead, we cherish the pain of life. We remember all the bad things which happen to us. We very rarely remember all the good things which happen to us. When there's anything wrong with something, we can see that very easily. When there's something right with the budget, we can't see that. They just passed a budget in Australia recently. We can't see any the good part of life. And that's the sort of this negative attitude which we've developed in our modern world. We are actually destroying happiness. So sometimes it's good to go out there and don't see the sort of the piece of paper on the path, making it dirty. Just look at the beautiful trees. It's a beautiful day here in Perth today. Wonderful sunny afternoon in, what is it, spring, autumn I suppose you call it, beginnings of winter. So you can actually delight. There's always so much happiness and delight out there. I can't see why we always choose, you know, what's wrong and anger and pain and fear. So if we can change our attitude in life, in meditation, when beautiful things come up, we can delight in them. There's so much fun and happiness. Have you ever seen the kids? You know, sometimes, you know, in the open world, maybe, I think it still happens these days, they'll be out in the garden somewhere, pick up a stick or something and spend time, hours playing with it, having so much happiness in simple things. Remember that yourself when you were a kid? You can see happiness in the most simple of objects. See if we can find that in our breath, in our meditation, in our mind, in our body. Have that beautiful playfulness of a child. And then we find happiness. Once that happiness is there, it really takes off in meditation. And it makes the happiness even stronger later on. So, all these questions, a bit more happiness. Often in the meditation, the first question we need is, your nimitta will become even brighter and just, oh, this is gorgeous. And if you think like you're looking at the sun, the person from Indonesia, sometimes you think that you can't face the brightness of the sun. But later on you find, can I endure so much pleasure? I always like saying this because that was one of my blocks for a little while. I thought in meditation no human being can take so much bliss. I'd explode. But I found out a wonderful, timeless truth. You can always take more ecstasy. I don't mean the pills, that's rubbish stuff. I mean the bliss inside. Whoa, yeah, give me more. I won't explode. It's good for you. And, you know, that comes from letting go. And if you get that type of stuff coming up, you can't get irritated or angry at all. So it may be because, I don't really know, it's a very quick question from Poland, it may be because, you know, the peaceful meditation has been forced. You need to let go and relax more. Okay, any questions from here? We've had it from Indonesia, Romania, Poland. How about from Australia? Because you are allowed to ask questions as well. I know one person once, they were sitting over there, and they sort of complained that people sitting here in this hall never had a chance to ask their questions, always the overseas questions. So without me noticing it, they got out their smartphone and they emailed a question onto here and said it was from Thailand or somewhere. And actually just sitting over here. Really smart. Any questions from anyone here? Okay, so it's 4:15, I will let you go now. So thanks again for coming. And again, every one of these, I think, at least most of them, is up on the internet. So, you know, if there's some part of meditation, you know, you're wondering to get some information on, you can get it from the internet. Get one of the earlier talks on meditation. Find out which one is the one for you. Okay, so let's go and pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, if you wish, and then we can go and do what we need to do.